Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cinematic Adventures. If you're listening to us on the go, you can catch us on Podbean, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you can listen to your podcasts. My name is Sean. I'm one of your hosts. And with me in the studio is Paul. Paul, how are you?
I'm doing well, Sean. That was a great intro.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not up to the standards that you have set for yourself, but I'm my goal is to get there eventually.
You know, it's funny. I don't actually set my own standards. I keep my bar really low, but it wasn't until I did an interview on our other show, MF Uncensored, which is also available on Podbean.
Shameless plug.
But they had listened to the show beforehand, just audio, and they thought that our intros were all pre-recorded, that like we pre-recorded them and then hit like kept going. I was like, nope, at this point, we just kind of do them off the cuff. But it took a lot of practicing though. And soon as Stitcher got removed from the equation and YouTube got put in, like we were just done.
I did it. I'm proud of myself. I did not mention Stitcher.
I'm proud of you. That's really good. It's funny when I do the flashback episodes on our YouTube channel, The Misfit Faction, shameless plug, like, comment, subscribe. But I'll do like some of the flashback episodes and it'll be like really old news and stuff like that. And it makes me laugh.
Yeah. We haven't done news for a while, but there really hasn't been much news out there that we really...
Warrants. Even like at time of recording, the Super Bowl was last week, and the only trailers to really talk about, really, like, I think they had a Dune trailer, which
Deadpool, which wasn't really a trailer, it was more of like a scene. But I've watched the full trailer now.
So excited!
It was great. It was very exciting. I have to admit, it was a very.
I don't think we've actually done Deadpool on the Multiverse Fancast yet.
That's not possible.
I think we kept saving it, and now we'll have to double check. But in all honesty, we'll definitely do an episode before, because that movie's coming out soon.
Yeah, and then we also got a new Planet of the Apes movie is coming out.
And the biggest bomb of all time, Madam Web, this past weekend.
Oh my God. I'm sorry, dude. I just have absolutely no desire to see that movie.
Like, I think
there's nothing about it that warrants me wanting to pay $15 to go see it.
I think I might break my... I usually am very good about not watching movies through illicit means, but I think that might be the movie that I break that for.
What did you think of the Wicked trailer? I'm kind of... Nothing.
It reminded me too much of James Franco's Oz.
Oh, that's true. The Great and Powerful Oz. That movie was such garbage.
Oh, that movie was terrible. Granted, Mila Kunis looks great when she turned into the witch, but
just
no, nothing.
Oh, God, sorry.
No,
it's fine. I think we got a fun episode ahead of us here, and then we're big on in Cinematic Adventures for doing anniversary episodes, and it hit me that you know this movie is celebrating its 25th anniversary this year. Oof.
That's wild.
But crazy enough, it's based off a TV show that's still running.
And arguably better than a lot of the other TV shows that are still running in that kind of journey.
I'll be honest, I haven't watched it in years, but that is, we have South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut, the 1999 gem from Trey Parker and Matt Stone.
Gem? Is gem the word?
Yeah, I think gem's the word. I think this movie is a gem. I really do. Like, I'm actually quite shocked they never did a second movie. Because I think they did such a good job with this movie. I think I'm surprised they never did the second one.
I think in all honesty, though, I really do think that like they found their footing better with the specials. And like they did the pandemic special. They did like the future special.
The pandemic special was hysterical.
Oh, God, it was so good. The only issue that I have with South Park is, and this movie actually notwithstanding, this movie is a great example of how to do an animated movie well in terms of when they do the specials are very... relegated to the time that they are being done. Like the pandemic special is really, I don't want to say funny. Funny is it's relevant to us now, but in like 5 years, you're going to have like a new fan watch pandemic special and be like, was it really like that? Was that how the world was? And we're going to be
like South Park. I feel like that's South Park, no matter what I feel. But what I think is interesting about this movie, obviously 25 years ago it was made. The show is still running. The show came out in 96, I believe. So, mm-hmm. Only 2 years after the show premiered did we get a full feature-length film, unlike The Simpsons, where it took them 18 years to get a movie done, which is interesting. And you can argue that was a smart move on their part or wasn't. I mean, I don't know how you feel about that. Do you feel it was too quick to do a movie, or do you think it hit the right time because the show was just such a cultural phenomenon when it really aired right away?
I think they struck when the iron was hot. They weren't and South Park was one of those shows that they never were sure if they were going to keep going at first. Like,
that's true.
When that show first started, I think that's why they did Basketball, because they thought South Park was going to get canceled.
They did think South Park was going to get canceled. You are correct. When we did that episode a couple weeks ago, I remember reading that. Yeah, they were like, we'll do this movie because, you know, South Park's not going to make it past the first or second season. So you know, and here we are, almost 30 years later.
It's wild to think.
Crazy. It's crazy.
That show had, so here's why this whole experience is very unique for me. And I'm sure, I think you'll probably say the same. I never watched the show before the movie. I wasn't allowed to as a child. I was not allowed to watch the show. And this was during the time, so 97, we were what, 10-ish?
10, yeah.
So I know I had moved to Mayapak at that point. So we were 10 and all the kids were, I hate to say it, we were all killing Kenny during recess. Like, it's just the way that it was. Like, that was like a cultural phenomenon in itself. The whole idea of, you know, they killed Kenny, you bastards.
Just remember the Boy Meets World. And then there was Sean episode. I mean, they were even dropping, they killed Kenny in that episode. I mean, that's how insane of a premise that was and how hysterical many people found it. It's like every episode, they're going to kill Kenny.
And people waited for
accepted.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. It became the thing everybody waited for in all those early episodes. How are they going to kill Kenny in this one? And so I think they pulled it off in this movie just perfectly.
Well, it's funny. They have a character named Kenny, and we'll go through the entire character list and kind of, but Kenny has his own subplot story that eventually does connect to the main story. Say what you will about South Park, but it is incredibly well written. And if you ever like look at some of the behind the scenes stuff, the amount of work that these guys put into to do South Park is crazy, especially when it first started and it was really on Trey Parker and Matt Stone. You know, we did Ted last week on Cinematic Adventures. Make sure you check that out on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe. But we talked about how Seth MacFarlane was super heavily involved in the beginning. And then obviously as he got more famous, he stepped off to the side and he let other people do, you
That's
know,
not what happens here. I mean, so they're still big, fully involved in the show.
And the two of them are just, they're hilarious. And the thing about South Park that still makes it work is the fact that they attack everyone. And they're
nothing is sacred to them.
I love it. And that's what's making it, that's what made it last, in all honesty. It's the fact that they were not afraid. They like got death threats and like terroristic threats at certain points. The whole Muhammad episode, do you remember that?
Vaguely, yeah.
So they wanted to show the Prophet Muhammad, and they were literally told, you cannot do that under any circumstances, like to a point of like, we will, like they were getting death threats and terroristic threats and jihads and all these things. So they did the episode, but they just blocked him out the entire time. It's just a big censor. And man, like the stories you hear about South Park and Trey Parker and Matt Stone, like it's wild. And yeah, the fact that they're still doing it. And going back to your original question 42 minutes ago, I do think that doing the movie now was the time, because at that time, the censorship was the biggest issue. We look at some of the other things that were going on. 97, we were 10. So Power Rangers has kind of hit its heyday. It's transitioning more to like the Zeo Turbo type era and kind of losing its. But again, that was another show that parents heavily criticized. Like, they were like, hey, all these people are fighting and like vicious and violence and all this stuff. Like, monsters are exploding. And I'm like, yeah, love it as a kid. And it's funny because I was just watching, they released a trailer for the new X-Men relaunch. And I know it looks so good. But I was like, you know what? I only vaguely remember the show because the show came out around the same time, 97.
Yeah. And
I remember this. I know this is more of a multiverse thing, but who cares? It's our shows. So I remember watching just the same VHS tapes of like six X-Men episodes over and over again. So I don't think I've ever actually seen the full series. So, yeah. So it's on Disney Plus. And I was like, we were sitting around last night. We had a little bit of downtime, me and the producer. And I was like, I want to watch X-Men, because she was reading, she was doing homework, whatever she was doing. And so I threw on the original X-Men series. And first of all, that animation is a little janky, I'm not going to lie.
But it's so good, though. It so works. It's the time. It just works.
But it's funny because it's happening at the same time as Spider-Man, the animated series, which was heavily, heavily, heavily censored. To the point where they couldn't use the phrase Sinister Six.
Stone is voice of Kyle and Kenny, a hooded version of Kenny. He does not voice Kenny when he takes his hood off.
So that was a big thing too, that like this movie touted the idea that, hey, we're going to show Kenny for the first time ever. And
they tease you at the beginning when they see him waking up and he doesn't have anything on. And it's like, oh, okay. Saddam Hussein, he does the voice of Kenny, Kyle's father, Gerald. Butters
is probably my favorite character.
The R.K. Bergman, who was one of the only female voices for most of the first like few years, she's the voice of Sheila Broflovsky, Carmen's mom, Stan's mom, pretty much any female character they could do. Yeah, well, the great Isaac Hayes as chef, and those are like the main voices from the show. And then you have some celebrity cameo voices. You have George Clooney as the doctor. You have Brent Spiner as Conan O'Brien,
which is hilarious.
Minnie Driver as Brooke Shields. I did not know this. Dave Foley as the Baldwin brothers, which I love that scene.
Oh, that's so funny.
The Baldwins are dead. Eric Idle as Dr. Vosnacker. Mike Judge is the voice of Kenny at the end of the movie. The great Mike Judge, who voices Beavis and Butthead and King of the Hill. He is the voice of Kenny when we can actually understand him.
Which is funny because apparently they use Kenny's muffled voice in the show to drop in as many curse words as they possibly can.
It's great. Like,
sometimes you just knew it. Like when they go, obviously we're going to try not to use too much profanity in this episode, but there's the scene in the classroom where like they're all cursing for the first time in front of people and Kenny's still got his hood on and he drops an F-bomb and you can tell what he's saying.
Yeah. But
apparently Trey Parker and Matt Stone said several times that was like, they did that all the time where they would have Kenny drop all these profanities just because nobody could understand him.
Nobody could understand him. And that was the thing about the movie was they were like, okay, we're going above and beyond the show here, guys. This is not just going to be a 90-minute episode. This is going to be full-blooded, R-rated cartoon.
So here's my issue then, and I want to hear your thoughts. We talked about if it was too soon to do a movie, if whatever. A lot of times when they do a movie, it's either A, to capitalize on the hype, B, the show is about to end, so we're going to end with a bang, or C, it's been 18 years, we might as well do it, Simpsons. But for this one, this felt like it could have been like the end of South Park. Like South Park is over. Like, and I think that that's probably how they went into it at some point. Like, hey, the show's probably not going to last much longer. Let's go with a bang if this is going to be our magnum opus. And I think this movie does set itself up as, yes, it's a very long South Park episode, but it's also, like you said, dialed up to 11 for everything.
Well, so to go with what you were saying, it says here that they signed a deal with Comedy Central that contracted them to produce episodes until at least 1999, as well as produce a film based on the series. And then part of the Trey Parker and Matt Stone's conditions were that the film must receive an R rating, keeping it in line with the series humor and all that stuff. They didn't want to do just a simple feature length episode of the show, but Paramount kept pressuring them to tone the movie down and they just kept fighting back. They were of the mind, like, what's the point of doing a movie if we can't go above and beyond? That's the whole point of a movie. Look with The Simpsons. Simpsons did a good job of, you know, going beyond the TV series to make a full-blooded movie. And some movies don't. Some movies just kind of stick to the TV show era, but South Park did not. They were like, nope, pretty much.
Yeah, and it's funny because it was very hard as a kid for me to go to the show after seeing the movie first. Because, some of it's still the same vein, but like the show is also very different than the movie. Again, the musical numbers alone, like the show is not a musical. They've done musical numbers and they've done stuff like that, but it's not like Bob's Burgers that has a musical number at the end of every episode. Like, it's just, I didn't know that about Bob's Burgers, and we've been watching it a little bit more.
Yeah. So I've been watching a couple episodes here and there of that show. Yeah.
It's surprisingly funny. That's another show that maybe we'll sit down and watch the movie at some point.
The movie's actually not bad. I don't think it's on the level of this or even The Simpsons, but it's got its moments.
So we went through most of the cast. Now the movie is broken up into two distinct parts. One is the boys see this rated R movie, the Terrence and Phillip movie, which is profane and disgusting. And in all honesty, it looked like a long podcast where they were just sitting in a room together. Like that's what the movie looked like. But because they were using such profane language, it attracted, obviously, the kids are what, third grade, fourth grade, something like that?
Yeah, third or fourth grade.
So ironically, they were the same age we were when this movie came out, which is hilarious when you think about it. We were.
Yeah, and the whole notion of kids getting into an R-rated movie. They paid a homeless guy. I knew it. You paid a homeless guy to get you in, didn't you?
And then they start cursing him off. And then they end up going to see the movie again. And they walk out and the same usher's like, hey. This movie has some really subtle comedy to it. One of my favorite moments is when they're singing La Resistance. And what's the douchey kid's name? The boyfriend of Wendy.
Oh, I'm blanking, but give me a sec.
Whatever. We'll get there. But he's singing about like all the terrible things that could possibly happen to them. And they're just standing there and they're just dead-eyed. They're like, oh my God, what are we doing? And it is just the funniest thing. And it's Gregory.
Gregory, that's it.
Gregory. Gregory.
Hold on, Wendy.
Yeah. But I love, they're just standing there. Like, you may get cut in half and like all these terrible things. And they're just like, I don't want to anymore. It's a very subtle comedy moment, but this movie's filled with them. And
I always love the when they're on the internet trying to set up the La Resistance, and they're like, it's like, oh my God, what is this, a German porn? It's like, is it Carmen's mom? Oh, real funny, you guys. Holy crap, it is Carmen's mom.
my God. Oh, yeah. And that was well before the Two Girls, One Cup era. And yeah. Oh, my God. That's horrific. That whole thing is horrific. But yeah.
There's so many great moments in this movie. I mean, just the lighting the fart on fire scene I love, just because you see Carmen hitting him with the stick.
And then the
I don't
stick
know what it
catches
is.
on
It's just
fire.
that direction of sticks on fire. He's just
Oh
like,
yeah, the
ah, the
stick on
stick.
fire. But in all honesty, so going back to the plot though, so the plot really starts to take off when Kenny actually dies. And we find out that in hell, Satan and Saddam Hussein are in a loving relationship, a very toxic relationship, and which was it's still hilarious. Like I can't help but watch it and just
Oh,
start laughing. But they're in a relationship together, a very physical one, and a graphically physical one at certain points. Jeez, I can't.
great.
So Kenny discovers that they have a plan that once the blood of Terrence and Philip is spilled, they will be able to come up to Earth and conquer it. And so that whole story is him trying to convince Satan to not listen to Saddam Hussein and, you know, stand up for himself. And it's very entertaining, surprisingly. Like, of all the stories, you would not think that Satan's heartfelt message of being strong in a relationship would be the highlight of said movie, but it's up there. And then on the other hand, the boys are still dealing with getting in trouble for they basically it's because they get in trouble for going to the movies that the rest of the movie happens.
Pretty much. It's
And
all Kenny's fault.
yeah, well, so who is it? Sheila Br Cartman's mom? No, Kyle's
Yes.
mom.
No, Kyle's
Kyle's
mom.
mom. Kyle's
She's
mom.
the one that goes crazy.
Yeah. Kyle's mom sets up an organization, Moms Against Canada, or something like that.
Yeah.
Mothers Against Canada. And they do the iconic song Blame Canada, where they say that Canadian entertainment is destroying the youth of America. And it is just so out of left field. But in all honesty, after everything we've experienced growing up as late stage millennials, we have survived pandemics and all these terrible things. And this seems completely realistic to happen at some point. Like this, it happened during the 90s. We had to, like, we watched this as kids. We didn't understand it. We didn't know it was getting that bad. But like, parent groups were fighting against Fox and Comedy Central and all these channels for quote unquote destroying the youth. Like video games too, that was a big thing. Like I want to say the first, I want to say Grand Theft Auto was about to come out or was in the process. I think it was close. I don't remember in 97. I'd have to look that up, but I don't care that much. So it's funny because everything that's happening in that movie is a direct reflection of what happened when we were growing up.
No, and that's clearly what the movie was about, was just going pretty much showing the stupidity of everything that was happening to that show, like all the uproar and all that stuff. I mean, they were going balls to the wall saying, like, guys, this shouldn't be an issue.
Right. But
Know.
of course, it still is.
Grand
And
Theft Auto was released in November of 97.
oh my God, 97 was a wild year.
Yeah,
This
so.
is crazy. Like, wow. Did you ever play the Grand Theft Auto games?
I had Grand Theft Auto 3 for PS2. That was the only one I ever owned.
I had San Andreas, and that was fun, but I don't like, I'm not a big fan of like too much to do open world kind of games. Give me,
See,
I
I
like,
like that because it just gives me something to do.
yeah, it's good. It's fun. But for me, like going back to the movie, it's wild to think. And this movie didn't blow critics and box offices away. Like it did really well, but at the same time, like on a budget of $21 million, which is pretty good for a cartoon. Again, it was a cultural phenomenon. The movie only pulled in 83.1.
Really?
Yeah. I think I'll say it. Some of the market probably didn't want this movie.
Probably.
Obviously, in the Middle East, it did not go well, unfortunately. And also the challenge you run into is the Chinese market was still is still one of the biggest markets in the world, but they won't have a gay couple, they won't have stuff like that. Like they are super strict with the things that they show their Chinese the Chinese people. And that's unfortunately one of the biggest markets in the world right now. So I'm not surprised that it didn't break 100 million, but I was kind of surprised though a little bit.
I mean, it's just looking at what they had to do for promotion and all that stuff. And again, I mean, there was other movies that were coming out at the time. American Pie, I believe, was released at the same time as Wild Wild West was released on the same day as South Park.
That's funny.
And people were, and that's, again, it was one of those. And I think another factor into why it wasn't making as much money is a lot of kids were buying tickets to other movies to go see South Park.
Right.
You and know, again, even says here that a Wild Wild West, a lot of people were buying tickets to Wild Wild West to just go sneak into South Park.
What was even funnier is this was the highest grossing R-rated animated film until 2016, when it was surpassed by Sausage Party.
Still have never seen that movie.
It was all right. Like I laugh at it, but it's the ending scene is graphic. Like super graphic, like you can tell Seth Rogen just said, because we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they did. So if you ever just want to watch anything from that movie, just watch the end.
Watch the ending. Oh, great. Will I be able to eat food again after that?
No.
Oh God.
Star City rating though for the South Park movie.
Oh, I give this movie a 4.
I'm with you. This is a movie that I could throw on. Where is it? Is it streaming anywhere?
It might be on Paramount Plus, just because it is a Paramount movie, but that is a great question. I love it for the musical portion of the movie, I think, does it for me most of the time. I mean, obviously, the, you know, just the utter F-bombs and just the crazy language. As a 10-year-old, 11-year-old seeing it for the first time, that was awesome.
Hey, Sean.
I wasn't yes.
Would you like to go see this in theaters today? Because apparently it is playing in theaters by us.
An Alamo?
No, that can't be right. What, February? Oh, for some reason my date was to June. That was weird. I guess they're gonna re-release it at some point.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep an eye out for it, because if it does play near us, I definitely would go see that. Because I didn't see it when it was in theaters.
Yeah,
Alamo might be playing it, because Alamo's doing a lot of 99 movies. Because just next week, me and Kate are going to see Sleepy Hollow.
Nice.
At Alamo, so it might be popping up at Alamo at some point this year, because 25 years for most of those movies. But the music, like, I wasn't as big into musicals as a kid as I've become, you know, gotten more into the musical movies when I've gotten older. But, you know, just the songs I think are brilliant. And as you look at what they went on to do in Book of Mormon, you know, who would have thought the guys who created South Park would create probably one of the most successful Broadway musicals, you know, that has been out for the last 20 years. I've seen the show. The show's hysterical. The music is very well, you know, written, you know, just that, you know, it's, and you can compare each song to, like, you know, something in the past, whether it's La Resistance is clearly Les Miserables, you know, and the opening song, Little Mountain Town, is like Belle from Beauty and the Beast or Oklahoma. You know, it's just I believe they were fans of that, like Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Like, they're fans of, like, Stephen Sondheim, and they, you know, wanted to, like, you know, say, like, hey, we can do this too, you know? And I feel like they don't get enough credit for right. The songs that they created, because I think these songs are freaking hilarious and memorable. You know, they did a live concert not too long ago where they performed all the songs. And I mean, just people just singing along.
Yeah.
They didn't even sing it. The people are just singing along, and they're just like, what? This is awesome.
They did a big orchestra version too of, like, Chef's Chocolate Salty Balls. And, like, they have, like, professional opera singers and people up there just singing it. And it is just too funny. I can't.
It really but is.
That is going to wrap us up.
What about you? You agreed with me on a 4,
right? Yeah, I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4. Okay. Fan Feedback Friday, would you like it?
Yes.
All right. This week, who are the best movie duo / best friends ever? Besides me and Sean, obviously. All right. Going down the list, we had some good ones. We had Batman and Superman. We had Chester and Jesse from Dude, Where's My Card? We have Pancha and Kuzco from The Emperor's New Groove from Brendan. That's a good one. We have Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, because I forget, Carter and Lee. Yeah, there they are. We have Jay and Silent Bob. Yes. Joe Buck and Ratso Rizzo. And Thelma and Louise. Those are some good ones. We had some good ones this week. But
yeah, we did.
If you guys want to participate in Fan Feedback Friday, it's super easy. Just go to our Facebook page, Cinematic Adventures. You can check it out there between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday. We try and get something up there, so make sure you guys check it out. And while you're there, make sure you like the page, comment, subscribe, all those things. It helps us out and helps us create more content for you guys. Speaking of more content, segue. If you guys check out our website, themisfitfaction.com, you'll find links to all of our other shows, all of our content, news, reviews, articles, and more. And make sure you guys check out the YouTube channel if you want to see these handsome faces just staring awkwardly at their screens. Like, comment, subscribe. I'm done.
You're done? Very well done.
Thanks, man.
Well, this has been fun, and looking forward to the next episode.
Are you?
We know what we're talking about?
I don't know.
Yeah, all right. Sounds good. As always, I'm Sean.
And I'm Paul.
And everybody have a great rest of your day.
Or don't. We're not your dads.
That's true.